Let's see. Kathy's calling us from Renton. Hi, Kathy.
Oh, hi, Dr. Wright. Yeah, I want to ask about the measles thing, the measles vaccine, primarily. I was told that if you were born before 1957, that you do not need a vaccine. But because our immune systems, as you grow older, become more compromised and don't work as efficiently, I'm wondering if you would say that I would need to get one.
Well, ma'am, before anyone gets a vaccine of any sort, there's at least one book they should read, which is available online quite inexpensively. Now, why should they read this? Because this is a book in which a science writer, who is very, very good at translating scientific research into plain English and making it brief in these are the major points covered in this research. And of course, one can go look up the research if one doesn't believe it. But this science writer compiled into one book 400 what are called critical vaccine studies, which means that they tell you the other side of the vaccine story. In addition to, oh, vaccines are wonderful for everybody, it tells you the other side of the story that we never, ever, I have never, ever seen this appearing in newspapers, ma'am. Mm-hmm. My least favorite study that was, again, researched and published in medical journals but never made it into the newspapers and is summarized in this book. Each study, by the way, one page, that's all it takes. Point 1, point 2, point 3, point 4, point 5, point 6. And over there is where you can go look it up online if you want to in PubMed. Anyway, it's called Miller's Review, MILLER'S, the fellow's name is Neil Miller. Miller's Review of Critical Vaccine Studies. Now, I skipped over mentioning my least favorite study. This was a study reported in a regular medical journal, ma'am, where they found that newborns who get the most injections are the most likely to be returned to the hospital or die. I'm not kidding. That's vaccinating a very tiny child, of course, just barely out of the womb. But that's done. And the study found that they're more likely to die than kids who don't get them then.
But
so before you go get it, I'd read that side and then I'd listen to the other side of the story and make up your mind. But then I'm going to move on to something you mentioned, and that is that immune system. Okay, now we do know that the immune system gets weaker with time. That's why when we get to be 80, if we get a respiratory infection, we're more likely to die of pneumonia than we happen when we happen to be in our 30s or 40s. What can we do about that? Well, researchers have found something to do. The immune system is regulated by something called the thymus gland. You probably know that that's under the breastbone for everybody, both men and women. And you may have heard somewhere that when people do autopsies, that's medical people, of course, they find that the very large majority of people in their 80s and 90s, their thymus gland is no longer there even. It's reduced to a few fibrous strands that don't do a blinking thing. And that's supposedly the natural progress of time. Well, supposedly is the right answer because other researchers found that if they worked with experimental animals at the same relative age of going towards their 70s and 80s of experimental animal life, and their thymuses were starting to turn into fibrous tissue, oh my goodness, if they gave them zinc, the thymus gland came back. And it started to work. Zinc apparently reactivates a thymus gland that's not too far gone. And so the key thing for all of us to think about doing, besides taking zinc supplements, is eating oysters, because oysters are really jam-packed full of zinc. But if we don't like to eat oysters, they've got zinc capsules down at the health food store. A researcher told us that if we stay below 100 milligrams a day, which I wouldn't recommend to anybody without talking to their doctor, but the average dose in the stores is 30 milligrams with a couple of milligrams of copper. What's the copper doing in there? Well, zinc can push out two copper, and copper can push out zinc. So they put them both in there, so they, if they push on each other, they'll do it equally. Anyway, that helps to keep the thymus gland healthy, ma'am. It really, really does, and keep it from what's called involuting. And then the other two things that are so important are a good blood level of vitamin D, the same as you would have in the tropics, but we all know we can overdose on vitamin D, so we have to keep track of it. In our area, the greater Seattle area, 5,000 units of vitamin D a day. It's called units these days. They're going to try to fool us and change the numbers next year, but it's now called units still. Mm-hmm. And then you check with your doctor to make sure you get your vitamin D tested, and are you in the tropical optimal range? And if you are, that's fine. And if you're too high, you better come down, etc. And the very last thing, ma'am, is that the World Health Organization says that it is so firmly proven that vitamin A prevents death from infection, especially in children, but also in adults, that we shouldn't be doing any more research to prove the point. They say it's so proven that it's unethical to do it. And unless one is a fetus, which neither of us are, and we're neither one of us is going to have any feti inside of us either, we can very definitely tolerate 50,000 units of vitamin A per day, which can come in one or two capsules, or it can come in drops, which absorb better. And funny thing, vitamin A, actually, if we take too much, which takes hundreds of thousands of units for most everybody, but if we're super sensitive, it lets us know. It gives us a headache, and we stop taking the vitamin A, and we quit having the headache, and then we know that we're taking too much vitamin A for us. And there we are, ma'am.
Okay, I understand. Well, thank you. That's interesting and very important, because I'm right there at that dilemma that my pharmacist said that, no, we don't need it. One of my other doctors said, yes, because as you get older, you know, the thing you just described with the immune system. So I guess I have to make that decision, but I wondered if I did decide to do it. I really don't want to. Is there any side effects? I'm sure there must be.
Well, there can be, ma'am. One of the things that lets you know there can be is this. If you're aware of this, please stop me. But no one can sue a vaccine manufacturer. It's illegal to sue them for even dying from the vaccine. Instead, you can sue them, but it's in something called the vaccine court. And guess who gets to pay for the damage caused by the vaccine? You and me and all the other taxpayers. Mm-hmm. Somehow the vaccine companies got that through, that the public gets to pay for damages caused by their vaccine. That must tell you that they know they're not entirely safe.
Absolutely. I agree. Okay. That kind of answers my question for sure. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. I'll let
You're
someone
welcome,
else
ma'am.
Get on the line with you.
And do get that book, Miller's Review of Critical Vaccine Studies. I'm not saying that's the gospel. I'm saying it's what we never hear.
Yes, I will get it.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.